Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, of course, we look ahead to the readings for the third Sunday of Advent that we will be speaking about in just a moment. But first of all, I came across this passage in Isaiah. We're going to read today from Isaiah 35, but this goes back a little earlier, Isaiah 29. Just listen to these words. On that day, meaning the coming of the Messiah, on that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. God desires to heal and to restore and to make well every one of us. It's whether we let him do it in his way, his priorities, his agenda. Because he knows the best way. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what will most safely bring us into heaven. And at the same time, to be able to help many other people. It's a both and. It's not either God's going to help me or I can't do anything. It's God's going to help me so that I can lead others to the same truth and the same reality that I have come to know. So as you look ahead to this Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, Advent goes quickly. How are you growing in faith? Have you really talked over this area of the Lord? Have you reflected on where your faith is weak? Have you brought those situations to the Lord and asked him to strengthen your faith? What have you done? Because you want, as Scripture says, you want a highway cleared out. You want a highway available for God to come to you this Christmas. So take a look. Take a look at your life. Because God wants to set you free. Maybe you've got several obstacles in your life. Take one. Take one for Advent. Take one of them. Bring it before the Lord. On that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. This is Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. People are poor and lowly in the eyes of the world. And poor and lowly in the eyes of God is a very different thing. When you're poor and lowly in the eyes of God, you're acknowledging that you're not the source of your life. That hits you right at the very center of your being, that he is the source of your life. And that you want to follow him. Your greatest glory and your greatest joy is to be his disciple. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. No one but the lowly and the poor can do that, because otherwise we think we're on top of it. I can handle this. I can take care of this. And we rely on ourselves. Now, there's a certain human maturity, of course, where self-reliance certainly has a place. But we've made it the king of all, rather than humility, acknowledging you've given me these gifts, I can use them for your glory, but they are given to me, they're not mine. In a certain sense, the gifts we have are loaned to us in this life, and the question is, what are we doing with them? Because we will be called to render an account. So it's the lowly, the ones who put all their trust in God, the ones who don't perhaps have much in the human realm, and then sometimes some who have extraordinary gifts in the human realm, who still can respond to the gift of humility, who cannot attribute to themselves the gifts that they have been given from God, but recognize that they come from God. That's true humility. In a spiritual realm, that's poverty. You're not relying on yourself. That's what God wants of us. How else can we really bow down before the king in a manger unless we're willing to bow down in our lives and to take his rule and his reign, his truth, as the very center of our existence. Think about this. This is what we ought to be thinking about during Advent. How humble am I and how willing am I to put God more thoroughly in the center of my life, which means in the center of my will? How much am I ready to do that? How willing am I to do that? The first reading for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 6, and then verse 10. The desert and the parched land will exult. You've heard this before during Advent. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. We're feeble and we're weak because our faith is so shallow. So we want to strengthen the hands that are feeble and make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened. So once you're strengthened, turn to others and say, be strong, fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. There'll be all kinds of miracles when everything gets into right order. We're so not in right order. He is the Father. I am the son or daughter. He is the Savior. I am the one who needs to be saved, without which I will die. But if I'm to live forever, he has to be my Savior, and I have to acknowledge that I need one. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. That's what awaits us, brothers and sisters. Ask God, increase my faith, inflame my faith. Give me the grace to open my heart to believe that what you promise is true. And it's way beyond my wildest imagination. Honestly, if it's God who is infinite, has prepared for us an eternal reward, brothers and sisters, we can't even comprehend what that is because our minds can't comprehend it. This is the season to learn how to follow, how to listen, how to bow down. You'll enter into a much deeper relationship with God. Lord, come and save us. And we need to be praying this every day. Lord, come and save us. You give sight to the blind. You raise up those who were bowed down. You love the just. You protect the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. You sustain the way of the wicked. You thwart. Our God keeps faith forever. He secures justice. He gives food to those who need it. He sets captives free. That's what God is doing in each of our lives. But we can cross our arms across our chest and say, I'll take care of myself. Thank you very much. I'll follow you, but I'll do it in my way. My agenda. My priorities. When what we need to do is say, Lord, you know me far above what I know. You love me way beyond what I can comprehend. Please lead me and guide me. Be patient, says the letter of James, chapter 5. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rain. We have to water the desires of our heart, the good desires. We've got to water them. Care for them. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. In other words, come on, take courage from those who have gone before you. Come on, stand up straight. Read the prophets. See what they taught. See what they prophesied. See how many of those prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Savior has come. Have we allowed ourselves to be saved? Perhaps once again this Christmas we can renew our faith in him, putting him in his rightful place in our lives. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 verses 2 to 11, when John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Here's John the Baptist who prepared the way of the Lord. He's about to be beheaded for it. He sends his fellow disciples, go to Jesus and ask him, is he really the one? In other words, think of that. Think of that. John had faith to do what the Lord asked him, but was this the one? His voice had gone ahead to cry out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But even John, there were moments and times of doubt. It's there for all of us. And Jesus said to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Give John the fruit of my ministry, and John will know what to do with it. Here you are in prison. You know what awaits you. You don't know when. Can imagine the terror and the pain of that. And to have him cry out, are you the one? Is he the one? The doubts that are there, the fears that are there, that's in all of us. And Jesus says, blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Trust me. Trust me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. He's telling them the truth of who John the Baptist is, and he's telling them the truth of who he is. Do they believe him? Amen, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, it is the grace of God, it is the power of God to rescue us from the depths of hell forever. That's what's great. The servants share in that glory. Faithful servants like John the Baptist share in that glory, but they're not the source of the glory. They're not the source of the glory. Put all your trust in him, brothers and sisters. Put all your trust in him. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.